Hi, this is Wayne Randazzo of the WCBS Mets Radio Network, and you're listening to Baseball and BBQ.
From the studios of Baseball and Barbecue on Long Island, New York. This is episode 152 of Baseball and BBQ. I'm your host, Jeff Cohen, along with my distinguished co-host, Leonard Hollywood Aberman. We welcome you back to our podcast. Leonard!
Wow. Jeff, that was a great intro. Thank you. I am so happy to be here. But as some great comedian once said, I'm just happy to be anywhere. Right. I'm happy wherever they let me be. I'm happy to be. Jeff.
Yes, sir.
This episode's going to be exciting. We've got two great guests. But before we begin, I just want to let everybody know that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and yes, even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50. That's BLEAV50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Jeff, let's just let everybody know, two guests tonight. You know, I always say it's tonight. We're recording tonight. Well, it could be this morning, whenever you're listening. But we have
day jobs, so we record at night.
Exactly. Alana Rizzo.
Yes, from the MLB Network.
There's so much she's involved with. MLB Network. She was with the Dodgers for many years.
Yeah, the Rockies before that.
Yeah. You know, the Dodgers, I don't know, that scrappy team that somehow, you've heard of the Dodgers, right?
And now she works with, she said it was a lovable lunatic?
Yes. I will spare you, Jeff. This is how much I care about you. I'm going to spare you from doing my mad dog impression.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And then, Jeff, we are joined by member of the hosting team, as we say, member of the family, Doug Scheiding, as we welcome Dan Arnold of Suckle Busters. So this is a packed show. It really is.
And good news, Len.
Yeah.
Good news.
Oh, I want to hear it. Give me the good news.
The Mets are in the playoffs.
That is awesome news. Yes.
For us Mets fans, you know, it's been 6 years. We're in the playoffs.
Yes. But Jeff, I've got even bigger news.
Oh, we do.
Bigger news than that.
Oh.
Yeah. Here we go. You ready?
Yep.
All right. I was going to do a drum roll, but I'm not even going to do that because I just want to get right to it. Our friend, Ray Sheehan. Yeah, that Ray Sheehan. BarbecueBuddha.com. Sauces, rubs, all that stuff. Great stuff. But bigger news is his restaurant, Ray's Roadside Kitchen, is now open.
Woohoo! Yes.
Yeah. So, Jeff, first of all, give the address, please.
Sure. 465 Route 539, Cream Ridge, New Jersey. So anybody in the New Jersey vicinity, please check out Ray's Roadside Kitchen. Again, 465 Route 539 Cream Ridge, New Jersey. The phone number is 609-758-0616.
Yeah, I suggest calling before you go, only because he's just opening and hopefully he's open and everything's going great. Just make sure before you make the trip. Now, Jeff, we wish Ray so much success. And Ray has done us a great honor, a great honor. He is having a food on the menu dedicated to our show, Baseball and Barbecue.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is an honor.
It is called the Baseball and BBQ Footlong Hot Dog.
Ah.
Can I tell you what's on this thing?
Please, please do.
It is smothered with barbecued baked beans, crumbled bacon, and cheddar cheese. And that is, I'm going to go and have at least two. I think I could probably eat maybe more. I don't know. But he has fried chicken. He has salads. He has sandwiches. He has burgers. I mean, we haven't even been there, but I've seen on Facebook, he's posted the menu board and all that. So we wish Ray a ton of success with that. We're very excited.
Absolutely.
Also, we suggest that everybody go to baseballbbq.com for the phenomenal grilling tools and accessories. Jeff, we have got to get those guys back on here to talk about some new products that they have. But that's baseballbbq.com. Can you imagine that? A spatula with a baseball bat handle. Tongs with baseball bat handles.
I use them all the time.
And then, of course, the Pandemic Baseball Book Club. Great authors. We've had so many of them. Please go on there. Support the authors. They have some swag to purchase. That, I think, is what we're going to say right now, because we want to get to Alana Rizzo. But when we're done with Alana Rizzo, stay tuned, because we've got listener mail.
Ooh, and here's Alana Rizzo. We have with us on Baseball and BBQ a pioneer in the baseball broadcasting. This sports reporter was part of the LA Dodgers broadcast team on Spectrum Sportsnet LA for 8 years before moving on to the MLB Network in 2021. Along with broadcasting, play-by-play, and color commentary, is also the co-host of High Heat with Christopher Russo. We are thrilled to have with us Alana Rizzo with us on Baseball and BBQ. Welcome, Alana.
Thanks, Welcome. Guys. Good to be with you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Alana, you are a 7-time Emmy Award winner for your work. Congratulations. Tell our audience how you got started in sports journalism, especially baseball.
Oh, I appreciate it. It wasn't something that I was born to do. It wasn't something that I grew up and said, oh my gosh, I can't wait to be a reporter. I didn't even really know that this whole world existed when I was growing up and I went to college. I went to the University of Colorado in Boulder, and my undergrad was actually international business with the marketing emphasis. And I was working in sales and marketing in both the hospitality industry and then the beverage industry for 5 years, and was just really unfulfilled and bored. And I kind of had an epiphany, honestly, between Christmas and New Year's of the 2001-2002 season, where I just said, if I could do anything, what would it be? And, you know, I've always been a massive sports fan. I've always enjoyed it as a participant in some regard and as a spectator always. You know, my family, we can't agree on a lot of things, but the one thing we do agree on is our love for the Denver Broncos, you know, born and raised in Colorado. And I just decided if there was anything I could do, if money wasn't an object, if I won Powerball, what would it be? And sports was just a likely choice. And, you know, I didn't even know that there was what I ended up doing. I didn't even know that existed. So I went back to school and got a master's in journalism and started from there. And I knew I wanted to be in sports. And I started at the bottom. And there's 200 television markets. And I started in market 142 in Wichita Falls, Texas. And was at the CBS station there and just worked my way up. So as far as baseball is concerned, it was an opportunity. It wasn't something that was a destination for me. It just ended up being what got me back to Colorado. Grew up there, you know, in 93, the Colorado Rockies came to town, and that was the first time we had Major League Baseball in Colorado. We had pro ball before, but never the major league. So, you know, I was a senior in high school, and my accounting teacher pulled up a television, and we were all allowed to watch the first game ever at the old Mile High Stadium. And to be able to witness that was really neat. And then, you know, I went off to college and didn't think much about it. And baseball wasn't something that I grew up loving, understanding, appreciating. What it is to me now is something completely different than what it started as. I started covering the Colorado Rockies in 2007 and went through that crazy run in which they won 21 out of 22 right. games to go to the World Series. Unfortunately, ended up getting swept by the Red Sox, but covered that, and then, you know, covered the Rockies for 5 seasons, went to MLB Network for 2 years, really missed being at a ballpark and being, you know, there with the pulse of the team every day. And then the Dodgers started their new network in 2014. So I covered them from 14 through the 2020 World Series season. And now I'm back at MLB Network. So it's been a bit of a roundabout route, but one I'm certainly grateful for.
You start your career in Wichita Falls. And of course, Wikipedia has all the places that you started, and I love reading those things. When you begin, you know you're going to start out in these small towns. You're going to move around a lot. Were you resigned to that? Did you know that that was the route you were going to have to take?
I think you have to. I mean, and I tell everybody, especially, you know, young people that want to get into this industry, what to expect. It's a lot of sacrifice. You know, what people see is the end product and the reward, and they look at it as a very glamorous life. It's anything but. You start in these very small markets. And, you know, in 2004 was my first legitimate job at a television station. And that was the CBS in Wichita Falls, Texas, as I mentioned. And, you know, I was making $15,800 a year, and this is in 2004. You know, this is not 1920. And it's a legitimate thing that you have to consider. You have to move. If you want to be on camera, you have to be prepared to move and make some sacrifices. And at the time it was called a backpack journalist, which is basically someone doing everything. Now they call it multimedia journalist. It's the same thing. You're one person doing 10 jobs. You can call it whatever you want. You can slap whatever title on it you want, but that's what you're doing. So you do have to go into it knowing that and resign yourself to know you're not going to make any money. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to leave a lot of your, you know, creature comforts behind, but you have to pay your dues, and that's incredibly important. And it's important to make all your mistakes in small markets like that, where people are a lot more forgiving than they are in markets like, you know, New York and LA.
That's what Jeff and I are doing. And people look at us and say, "You guys, you're podcasters. What a glamorous life you have." So I understand. We get it.
Yeah, nobody understands the, really the challenges and the sacrifices that you go through. Now, listen, I'm not saying that's not a wonderful job. I've been very blessed to have the jobs that I've had, but I've also worked very hard to be in the positions yes. that I've had too. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits, but there's also a lot of things that people don't see, especially if you're on a baseball beat. I mean, there are no such things as backyard barbecues and holidays and Mother's Day and Father's Day and graduations and Friday night concerts. I mean, I covered 200 games a year for 10 years, you know, more than 10 years. And you don't have a summer when you're a baseball beat reporter or on a baseball beat. So, you know, that, keep that in mind. Now, for the first time in my life, I've been doing broadcasting and sports for 20 years. This is the first time in my life I've had some work-life balance, and it's taken me a long time to get there. So just keep that in perspective. What people see is not exactly, you know, people see the end reward. They don't see the steps it takes to get there.
Exactly. Exactly. You were part of the first all-female broadcast team with Melanie Newman doing a play-by-play, Sarah Lyons doing the analyst. By the way, her stats is off the charts.
She's fantastic. Yeah.
Heidi Watley and Laura Garner was pre and post game, and you were on field reporter. How was that experience being the first female broadcast team?
You know, it was obviously an honor to be a part of that crew. We didn't even realize we were an all-female crew until I received a request from our PR department at Major League Baseball Network asking me for a quote. And I was like, for what? It's the Orioles at the Rays. Why are we doing a quote? And then I realized at that time that it was the first all female broadcast. We didn't even know that we were on the game together until that time. And it really the hardest part of the day was all of the media requests and being, you know, kind of drawn in so many different directions. We loved the emphasis on what we were doing. It's a little disappointing that in 2022, we're still talking about the first for those types of things. And if you look at the five of us that were on that broadcast, I mean, our resumes speak for themselves. Melanie Newman is fantastic. She's been doing minor league baseball and now Major League Baseball on the radio for a very long time. So she's paid her dues. She's rode those buses. She's been to those small towns, and she's very, very good at what she does. I'm very excited to see her hopefully at some point get a full-time play-by-play job on television. Not that there's anything wrong with radio, but I know she'd like to do TV. You know, Sarah Langs is, as you mentioned, off the charts with all of her different statistical information, and she just lives and breathes for those types of things. And then, you know, Heidi Watney and Lauren Gardner have their own set of unbelievable experiences. And I've been doing this a really long time. So it was great to be a part of it. But honestly, once the game started and Melanie called the first ball or strike, it was as if we were doing any other game. And, you know, we've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games collectively. So it was an honor to be chosen to be a part of it. But at this point, it's like, okay, let's not make it the exception anymore.
Agreed. I mean, we know we're friends with Perry Barber, who's a female umpire. And we talked to her saying, you know, we can't believe that there's no female umpires in the major leagues. I mean, there's an official in football and in basketball. I don't understand why.
I just think baseball is the one sport that is, you know, a very purist sport. And you have people that are very reluctant to change. And I think as baseball realizes that we need to draw a younger audience and progress in certain ways and kind of, you know, speed up the game a little bit and change the way things have always been done, I think eventually we will catch up to the other three major sports. I mean, Major League Baseball was the last one to have an all-female broadcast team. That's just baseball's mentality. It's been this way for 200 years. You know, it's not going to change. We don't need it to change. And I think it's just a very slow moving process when it comes to baseball. But I think they are really starting to see the value of changing things up.
Well, you said purist, and I'm almost, and then I'm thinking purist or puritan, because it's, you know, baseball definitely needs to, the all female crew should not be such a big deal. It shouldn't matter. It should be, and that's it. But let's get into the bigger issues. And this one's very important. So, Alana, you ready?
We
ask tough questions on this show.
Okay. I'm
all ready. Right. What are your thoughts on doing the wave?
I can't stand it. I don't mind it in football, but I have been on my soapbox about this for so long. I hate the wave. I especially hate the wave in baseball when it comes to you're at home and your pitcher's on the hill and it's a tight ball game. And then people are doing the wave behind home plate when your pitcher's trying to deliver. It drives me insane. Maybe that's one of those old school purist type of things. I don't mind it. I guess if it's in a blowout situation, if the game is completely out of hand, if it's an exhibition game, if it really doesn't matter. But if you're in a game and it's 4-2 in the eighth or ninth inning, or it's a postseason game, or it's a game that really matters, don't do the wave. And I'm a big Dodgers fan. They do it there all the time. It drives me nuts. The beach ball in the stands drives me nuts. I know I sound like old lady yelling at clouds at this moment right now, get off my lawn. But in football, it doesn't bother me as much. In baseball, it just drives me crazy.
Yeah. Well, Jeff and I went to a game this Saturday. Okay. We went to a Met game. So there was a couple of things. All of a sudden the wave broke out and I didn't do it. And somebody looks over like, you're not doing the wave. You're un-American. How do you not do the wave? You know? And So I put my hands up. I'm like, come on. The other thing that made me insane, and I don't remember it being like this all the time, is every time there's a pitch, the batter steps out or whatever, and all of a sudden there's lots of music. And it's not just that. I mean, it's all the time. It's like I said to Jeff, are we at a disco? It's like going to a game at a disco. All the time. It's like there can't be a moment of silence. We have to constantly have the noise.
Well, I think now with baseball, go to any stadium that has been renovated or built within the last 10 years. It's not about just the baseball game anymore. Now it's almost as if it's an entertainment mecca or an amusement facility. There's so much other stuff going on around the park, even beautiful historic Dodger Stadium that just went through $100 million renovation. There's so much more to do there than just watch the game. And I think, again, we have to kind of step outside of ourselves and say, all right, there's a different type of fan right now. Think about, and I don't have kids of my own. You guys may have kids. I don't know, but they have the attention span of a gnat. So in order to get their attention and keep their attention, there's got to be stuff going on all the time. I mean, these kids are mentally stimulated, overly mentally stimulated from the second they, you know, enter the world. Every day now, it's almost like we have to be clowns constantly entertaining them. I don't mind the music as much as I mind the wave. What really bothers me, even probably more than the wave, is the lack of originality and ingenuity for the Jumbotron and Dodge, like Dodger Vision or Met Vision proposals. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Stop it with the in-game proposals on the Jumbotron. Have a little bit of originality with that. That drives me. I'm always like, and the kiss cam makes me so uncomfortable. I can't. So those are types of things that I would change. I would change those three things before I change the music.
I think they got rid of the kiss cam at Citi Field. Haven't noticed it the last couple of games. Now they have the bongo cam.
Okay.
It's something else.
You know, on this show, Jeff is known for doing rants, and we call them baseball rants. And Jeff is a pro at them. I can't rant.
I don't know. You went on a pretty good rant about the wave and the music. That was pretty good.
But your rant, I got to say, it's more, Jeff, when we put this out, it's going to be Alana's rant.
Oh, I have plenty of rants. Trust me.
You know, Alana, I have the pleasure of working at home, so I get to watch High Heat every day during lunch. I noticed a picture on your mantle behind you. You have a dog. And the great Vin Scully. Mm-hmm. Is there a story that you can share with us about your relationship with the greatest broadcaster of all time?
He is just as genuinely wonderful as a person as you would imagine him to have been. Vin, I had the pleasure of working alongside him, you know, for two seasons when I was there of 14 and 15 and 16 before he retired. And he's just as wonderful as a human being as you could possibly ask for. I mean, his memory is incredible. I mean, he's covered everybody, obviously, through decades of baseball, 67 years in the Dodgers booth. And, you know, there was one time I wasn't covering the Dodgers yet. I was actually still covering the Rockies. This was, I mean, before I went to MLB Network the first time and all this. And I was in Coors Field. And this was way back when Vin still traveled. And I walked into the media dining and he goes, "There's Alana Rizzo. She must be honey because look at all the bees." I mean, there's no other human being on this earth that could get away with that and make me smile like Vin Scully. He was kind. He's genuine. He never forgot a name. He never forgot a face. He was patient. He was beloved. He is a man that spanned generations of fans, and he didn't have to be a Dodger fan. He was just a baseball fan. And, you know, obviously he grew up a New York Giant fan. He was a Giants fan, you know, and then got the job, obviously, with the Dodgers in Brooklyn and came to L.A. with the Dodgers when they moved. And, you know, nobody will ever. I actually have a microphone that was the type of microphone that Vin used in, you know, early 50s. And I wanted so desperately to get him to sign that. And I was never I never asked. I never wanted to ask. And now I wish I would have. But That's been on my mantle for 2 years. And that was definitely one of the harder days that we've had as a Dodger family. You know, we knew it was going to happen. I mean, Vin was 94, but we wished, he would have lived to 1,004.
And, well, he'll live in our minds forever.
Oh, no question. I mean, he's a legend, and he's the best that had ever done it. And nobody will ever, there will never be another Vin Scully ever.
Right.
And what's amazing about the Dodgers organization is something that so many teams should take lessons from. People that are in their organization, they stay there.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Vin Scully stays there because he's amazing, but managers stay there a long time. You know, their personnel. And there's another announcer that a lot of people may not be familiar with, but that's the Spanish language broadcaster, right?
Yeah, Jaime Jarin. I mean, he's another Hall of Famer. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. And again, just as equally as kind as Vin. And, you know, I worked with Jaime for 7 years, and he's wonderful. You know, se va, se va, se va on his home run call. And amazing, you know, came to the United States from Ecuador, didn't know anything about baseball. And he's been doing it just as long as Vin has. And they were very good friends. And Vin was obviously a mentor to Jaime. And when Jaime lost his wife, Blanca, a few years back in spring training, it was Vin that called him and said, "Keep working, you know, keep working. And that'll help you get through it." And they had a great relationship, a great friendship. Imagine all of the stuff that those two have seen through the decades of baseball and you know, all of the World Series they called and perfect games that they've called and everything that they've done. And Jaime is an absolute sweetheart. And I love his entire family, his son, Jorge, who worked alongside him in the radio booth for a long time. And this is Jaime's last year. And just an incredible family, an incredible legacy he's leaving behind. And obviously, as you know, the Dodgers have the largest Spanish-speaking fan base in all of baseball. So he's so instrumental to the connection of the Dodger faithful and Dodger Spanish-speaking fans to the team. You know, he was there when Fernando Valenzuela came up, you know, in 81 and all of that. So he's instrumental to that organization. And, you know, he decided that this was his last year, but Hall of Famer and a Hall of Fame person.
Absolutely. You know, Alana, we're fortunate here in New York. We have an on-field reporter for the Mets named Steve Gelbs.
Love him. Good dude.
We really do enjoy his work. But, you know, you've been an on-field reporter. Could you tell us what goes on, the preparation, and what goes on being an on-field reporter? Because he's on camera, you know, a couple of minutes for a game, and then, you know, we see him once in a while, but
yeah, no, I mean, the biggest thing of the day is all of the prep work that goes into it. I mean, I can speak from my experience with, you know, the Dodgers for 7 seasons and the Rockies for 5. I mean, our pregame show with the Dodgers was an hour every day. So you get to the park 4.5 hours before the game starts when clubhouse opens and you go in there and you know who you want to talk to for that day. The thing about baseball is it's every single day for, you know, 200 games. If it's 6 weeks of spring training, 162 regular, and if you're lucky, the postseason. So that's a lot of time to talk to these people. It's a lot of time and a lot of questions to ask and stuff. So that's where you have to be creative and come up with different topics and things to talk about. So it's not monotonous and you're bringing the fan base something new and insightful every single day. So for me, I'd get in there 3.5 hours prior to the game and get all my interviews and whatever the topic was we were talking about from the, you know, the previous game or going into a new series or whatever. And, you know, I would do 5-6 pregame interviews a day and then I would host an hour pregame show and then we'd start the game and we'd have about 4 or 5 hits in game. So it just kind of depends on what's going on in the day. And yeah, you better get your stuff in quick because you're not on camera very long. It's about a 30-second hit and you got to get it in before they throw a pitch. And you know, I always kind of feel like sideline reporters are like accordions. They'll stretch you out if they need you. They smash you back when they don't. And you don't want to, you know, start doing a hit when it's the bottom of the ninth, man on first and third, and there's 2 outs. You know, like you got to really pay attention to when it's important to talk. And you don't want, I hated doing fluff pieces. That was not my, I don't want to do like there's new nachos in the left field pavilion. And I don't like that because I always had to fight to prove I knew what I was talking about with baseball. So I have a very hard time doing what I call to be fluff pieces. And that's in my own head. That's my own insecurity. But, you know, it's, you have to establish relationships with people and players to be able to get more insight than just the, you know, the very surface stuff that people talk about. So, I mean, we are with these players more than we're with our own families. I mean, we're together for 8 months out of the year, every single day. So, you know, you learn people's habits, you learn people's tendencies, you learn people's schedules. I mean, I knew exactly when Justin Turner was doing his crossword, when I could talk to Chase Utley. Don't bother Chase if it's a certain thing, like when to go to the veterans, when, you know, don't even look at Clayton Kershaw if he's starting that day. Forget even saying a word. Don't even look in that direction. You know, just that you learn the guys and you establish relationships and Steve does a great job. You know, Meredith does an amazing job with the Yankees. I have a lot of really good friends that are all sideliner. I have a thread right now with 6 other sideline reporters and I'm not a sideline reporter really anymore, but you know, that we just talk about our lives and the days and like, hey, what can you tell me? Like we're playing the Rangers. What can you tell me about Nathaniel Lowe? Or, hey, I'm getting ready to interview Austin Riley. What can you tell me about him or whatever it is? So he's really good at what he does. I have a lot of respect for him and he's doing it in a big market where fans are very passionate.
That's for sure.
And when they go to you during the game, you have to pay attention constantly because they go to you during the game. Are they talking in your ear at all? Or you
I hear the entire game. I hear the entire program. What you're watching on television's in my ear.
Okay.
So then if the producer, like if I say, hey, I can add to that, like let's say, you know, Oral Hershiser and Joe Davis were talking about something or Vin was talking. I mean, now when Vin was doing the games, we didn't need a sideline reporter. But like with Joe and Oral, they're talking about, you know, Tony Gonsolin adding a slider to his repertoire or whatever it was. I could be like, oh, I can add to that. And then they'll come down to me and I'll say, like, I just talked to Tony Gonsolin about this, and this. And, you know, his arm slot used to, you know, whatever it is, you can add to it that way. So the producer will get in your ear and say, all right, we're coming to you, or you're taking us out of break, or hang on a second, or whatever. But I can hear the show, the program the entire time. And then the producer, if need be, will cut in.
You talked to obviously hundreds of players over the years, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but was there any one that was stand out that was like very special to you? Like, I don't know, Albert Pujols or somebody like that?
Yeah, I have a funny Albert Pujols story. I always answer this question the same way when everyone asks, like, who's your favorite player? Anyone that will give me an interview. And I say that tongue in cheek, but also seriously, because in baseball, as I mentioned, you have so many interviews to do that it gets to be a little redundant and monotonous. And sometimes you walk into the clubhouse and guys will disperse like roaches because they're like, they don't have anything to say. They don't want to say anything. I always appreciate the players that understand that I too have a job to do. And I too have to ask you about your job, even if you don't like the job that you did. I'm not here to be in your way. I'm not here to get in your space. I don't want to be in your clubhouse any more than you don't want me to be in here. But I too have a job. And as long as I'm prepared and I'm respectful of their time and their space and their needs, I expect the same in return. And I think I established myself as having that professional relationship. So anybody that would give me an interview. Now, to say more about that, anyone that like really gave you a thoughtful interview. And I find that catchers typically are really good interviews because they're the one position on the field that's involved in every single play. So typically after every game, you talk to the starting pitcher and the starting catcher. And, you know, I always found people that were really thoughtful about their answers. I appreciated that, you know, not the cliche 1-2 word answers or people that would hide. You know, Justin Turner's a guy that whether he went 0-for-4 or 4-for-4, he always posted. He always talks. And I respect that. I appreciate that. Guys like that, that realize, again, we have a job to do. I remember, I'll tell you an Albert Pujols story. So I was with the Rockies. And at the time, Ubaldo Jimenez was the Rockies ace. Okay. Well, Ubaldo is from the Dominican Republic, as is Albert Pujols. We were in St. Louis and the Rockies, and this was the year that Ubaldo threw the no-hitter. Like, this was insane. I think it was 2008. So we're in St. Louis and I had to literally go get Albert Pujols for an interview about Ubaldo Jimenez. Literally would have taken 35 seconds. He made me wait for an hour and a half. He went and took a shower. He went and talked to everybody, did all this stuff. And I was just like, and I had to get this. I mean, this was for our pregame show. I had to get this. And I waited and I waited and I waited and I finally got it. I was young. I was green. I had only been with the Rockies for 5 minutes and it was very intimidating. You know, you have Albert Pujols and here I am. Nobody knows who I am. Fast forward many years later, after again, establishing a relationship, establishing a reputation, establishing that I know what I'm talking about and I'm here to respect your space as well. I was with the Dodgers. He was with the Angels and Jock Peterson has a brother, an older brother by the name of Champ, who has Down syndrome. Well, Albert has a daughter that has Down syndrome. So I was doing a piece with Albert and Jock about Down syndrome and Champ and all this stuff. Albert could not have been nicer. He was apologetic for that time 100 years earlier. And I just learned a different side of him. So maybe I caught him on a bad day. And you can't, the one thing I will say is you cannot take it personally. It had nothing to do with me. But when you're young and you don't know what the heck you're doing, you do take it personally. So all I ask is for your time and respect, and I'll get out of your way.
You know, we want to talk to you about your other endeavors, Guidry's Guardians Foundation, and your consultant with Scout and Seller. I do have one last question about baseball, I guess the MLB Network, and that is your relationship with the Mad Dog, Chris Russo, who was
the best.
He was in, we grew up listening to him. He was obviously. Yeah.
Hey, Mikey. Hey. Yeah.
He is my lovable lunatic. I love him. I love him, but he is a lunatic. But I got to tell you something about Chris. So when MLB Network approached me after I left the Dodgers at the end of the 2020 season, I left in January of 21 on my own. The Dodgers could not have been more gracious. They're wonderful. That organization is first class and they treated me with nothing but respect. I have nothing but love for them. I will always, always bleed blue. But I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew that I didn't want to retire. I knew I wasn't done in broadcasting, but I knew personally I needed to move back to the East Coast. So I got in touch with MLB Network and I said, hey, I'm available. If you need me to fill in, I can, you know, I can make a spot start for a reporter or whatever you guys need. And it just so happened that they were going through a lot of personnel changes. And they were like, what about if you co-host the show or appear on it? It's Chris's show. Let's make no mistake about this. Okay. But I'm a contributor on the show. They're like, what would you think about doing it with Chris? And I was like, what? And I was like, I don't know about that. Like, I'm not, I mean, I'm fiery, but he is a lunatic. And, you know, I was like, I don't know if Chris is going to want that. And like, Chris didn't know who I was. I mean, like he had no idea that I've been covering baseball for 15 years at the, you know, now it's a lot longer, but he could not have been more welcoming. And I still have the voicemail. When he found out I was going to be on the show, he has been great. He's funny. He's lovable. He's kind. He's always at that octave though. And he's always at that level. I mean, we went to dinner last year for the All-Star game in Denver where I'm from. I mean, that's how the man orders martinis. Like he's just insane, but he knows his stuff and he loves baseball and he's a sports savant and his memory is insane. The stuff he remembers, he memorizes everybody's schedule and the Mets are playing them and the wind is 45 miles out of the north and it was 2 degrees outside and this guy was in the lineup and I was wearing this color socks and I'm just like, I don't even know what I did this morning. So he brings the historical perspective. Nobody is ever better than Babe Ruth, by the way. I don't care if your name is Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout. Nobody is ever better than Babe Ruth in his mind. He's a massive San Francisco Giants fan. He loves New York. You guys have been listening to him for decades. He's obviously doing something right. He just got inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. He could not be nicer. He could not be kinder. He has a big heart and it's worked for him. And he's been nothing. I think we balance each other out. He's up here. There's nothing on this planet other than dogs that I'm not animated about. You know, I think I bring a different perspective in that I can relate to today's player. And because of all of my time in the field, I the relationships I've established, I can get players to come on with me. You know, Chris sometimes says things that the players don't want to hear. And I admire him for his honesty. And he doesn't hold anything back. And that's a really unique thing. And one thing about Chris, love him or hate him, he's authentic and he's transparent and he's honest. And I think today, that's really refreshing. And this is my second year doing the show. And as of right now, I'm on it for next year. Beyond that, we'll see what happens. But he's been wonderful. I always say he's a lunatic, but he's my lovable lunatic.
Your interactions with him are great. I mean, I really enjoy that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I still remember when, as Jeff said, he started on FAN. And I remember when he started. And I remember when he was with Mike Francesa. Mm-hmm. And having their argument about who was the better first baseman. It was Mattingly and was it Clark?
Will Clark and Don Mattingly.
Yeah, and they were going at it, and I mean so we've been fans for a long time. And
he's been. I mean, he always reminds us, I'm 60 or something. Yeah, I've been doing this for 40 years. I know Mets fan. I know the Mets fan. I know. I'm like, okay, I get it. You've been doing this a long time, but No, he's great. I hope it's a good compliment. I hope it comes across that, you know, we do like each other and that, you know, we just have differences of opinion. I wish I could be as excited about anything as Chris is about baseball or about sports in general, but I hope it's a good mix.
It's a very good mix. Yes. You guys are good.
You have a foundation called Guidry's Guardian Foundation. I'm looking at the website. Is Guidry named after Ron Guidry?
He is, okay. Yeah. So I adopted my Guidry back in 2009 from the Humane Society of Boulder Valley. And my dad is a Yankee fan. And again, like I said, we didn't have professional baseball, or we didn't have Major League Baseball in Colorado when I grew up. So I guess I was a Yankee fan. Not really. I was never really a baseball fan. I mean, now it's my favorite sport ever. But at the time, I wasn't. So anyway, I was married at the time and my ex-husband was a diehard Yankee fan. And I knew that we were going to name him a Yankee. Jeter was already in the family, so that wasn't going to happen. But I loved Guidry, the name Guidry. And I always joke that my Guidry was a southpaw, you know, and I actually met Ron Guidry later. And I told him, I said, oh, I named my dog after you. He's like, oh, that's nice. I'm like, no. I said, listen, I named a whole foundation after you. So I adopted Guidry in 2009 and just really opened up my eyes to the need for fostering and adopting. So I started the foundation in 2019. And unfortunately, 3 weeks later, Guidry passed away. But in his honor, we have saved hundreds of dogs. The whole mission is to save dogs off of the streets and out of high kill shelters. So what we do is it's a fundraising mechanism. I'm basically a rescue for rescues. We don't physically pull the dogs. I don't have a, you know, a rescue building or anything, but we pay for all the medical supplies, all the medical work, transportation costs, foster supplies, all that to get dogs off of the streets and out of high kill shelters into loving homes. So, you know, I'm very anti-breeding. I'm very anti-backyard breeding and all of these designer dogs and this, that, and the other, to each their own. But if you've seen what I've seen on a daily basis of the abuse and the neglect that these animals suffer, you know, and there's hundreds of thousands of dogs that get euthanized on a yearly basis across our nation in shelters. So, you know, we encourage people to adopt. We encourage people to foster. You know, and I always said if I started it when I lived in LA, but it's nationwide, and you know, if I can leave this world better than I found it, so be it, because dogs, we don't deserve dogs. And I know you guys are dog lovers and, mm-hmm. you know, so hopefully Guidry is proud. And I adopted another dog by the name of Bentley, and she's outside and she rules this house, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
They do. Yeah. They train you.
Oh yeah.
That's
no doubt.
That's the way it works. I mean, my dog, we had a thing where I used to give my dog had to take a pill, and there are those soft treats, put it in the pill. And then she didn't need the pill anymore, but she still wanted the treat.
Oh,
so I gave it to her every time I came home. And then somehow now it's every time I walk into the kitchen, she comes in. It's treat time. She has me trained. And
I basically took a second mortgage out of my house to feed this dog the highest quality food. And she like puts her nose up at me. I'm like, I always go by, there are dogs in other places that would love this.
Right. There are dogs starving in so-and-so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when I was talking to Jeff and I said, we are going to get along very well with Alana because she is a dog lover. Not only is she a dog lover, but she has this foundation that she started.
Yes.
And we are dog lovers.
Yes.
And there is something about dog lovers that just... You can't be a bad person. I said to Jeff, you can't be a bad person and be a dog lover.
No. They'll know too. The dogs will know. There's something wrong with you if you don't love dogs. And Guidry, you know, has inspired a lot of amazing stories, and we've had some pretty crazy, you know, rags to riches types of stories too. And it's just been wonderful. So we are 100% donation based. So you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Guidry's Guardian. You know, obviously look up how to spell Ron Guidry, but it's G-U-I-D-R-Y-S Guardian. Yeah, it's been a absolute passion of mine, labor of love, but it's been really rewarding.
You know, I got to tell you, when we picked up my Trixie, we didn't pick out Trixie. Trixie picked us.
Yeah.
It was just, she just came up to us and started, you know, jumping on us, kissing us. It was just, you know, we said, this is the dog for us.
So yeah. They know that they've been rescued too. Let me tell you, I mean, they're so grateful and they're so loving. And, you know, it's just when they're in shelters or they're fighting for their lives, it's fight or flight. It's when they can finally decompress and their personality starts to come out. Then you really see, like, you know, a lot of dogs get sick after that. Cause it's like, you know, when you go, as you're so busy and you finally get a break, that's when you get sick. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing happens with animals, and it's just been, and it's really been eye-opening, but you know, we've saved a lot of dogs in Guidry's honor. So it's been really special.
And go ahead, man.
No, I think you were going to ask about the wine.
Yes. I was going to say, you're also a consultant for Scout and Cellar Wines.
Yeah. So there's three things in life I love apart from friends and family. That to me goes without saying, right? But if you're having outside extracurricular activities, baseball, dogs, and wine, and not necessarily in that order, it's dogs. And then wine and baseball is pretty close. But so I've always enjoyed wine, and my fiance is really into wine. And a friend of mine, one of the girls I was telling you about on that thread, Emily Jones, is the Texas Rangers sideline reporter. She's been with the Rangers for 20 years. She has always really diversified herself and her portfolio, if you will. And she's constantly in new things. And she's like, you know, you guys really should do Scout and Cellar. It's a clean crafted wine company. So no added sugars, no added sulfides, no added preservatives. And I said, well, you know, I might as well make money on stuff that I'm already drinking. So I originally started just as a customer, because I enjoyed the wine. You know, we can't promote health benefits, but I enjoy the wine and I didn't have the same negative effects the following day. So at first it just started as that. And then I said, well, gosh, you know, if I'm going to make money on this, why not share it? So it's a side hustle for me. It allows me to do things to help my family in certain situations. You know, I can fly my mom out here. Not that my mom needs, but the point is I can do stuff for my family with some extra income. I love the community. I love the challenge. There's no requirements. There's no minimums. There's no quotas. There's no shaming. It's not that type of company. Yes, it's direct sales. No, it's not a pyramid scheme. I know what people think, but that's, I wouldn't be doing it. I don't need this job. So I just enjoy it and I enjoy the wine. And I've been a consultant now for 2.5 years and it's just been a fun community. And why not get paid on what you drink? So sure. Yeah, it's scoutandseller.com. And then it's just, you can find me just at, you know, /Alana Rizzo. So I'm always busy. I'm not good idle. So I have, you know, my main job with MLB Network, and then I do the foundation. It's just me. I run the entire foundation, and then Scout and Seller. So I enjoy being busy, but baseball, dogs, and wine are three of my massive passions.
And you know, wine goes very well with barbecue.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And you know, wine goes good with whatever it is. People ask me like, what should I pair with this? Whatever you like. There's no wrong answer. Everybody's palate is different. If you want to pair a white with steak, knock yourself out. If you want to have halibut with a bold cab, that's fine. Like, there's no right or wrong answer. That's the beauty of it.
We had the pleasure of speaking with Steve Traxel, who was a former major league pitcher, as you know, and he also was into barbecue. Mm-hmm. He's also, we found out, he's a big wine person. He's a sommelier.
If you like wine at all, I would highly recommend you watch the movie Somm, and it's S-O-M-M, short for sommelier. And the reason I say that is because it's so unbelievably interesting. All of the things that they have to go through and learn. I mean, wine is as intricate as you can possibly imagine. To become a master level sommelier, I swear it's harder than becoming a heart surgeon. So if you ever have a moment, pour a glass of wine, get your dogs on the couch and watch Somm. It's incredibly interesting. It follows the journey of about 4 or 5 candidates in their quest to become a sommelier. And it's like super stressful. You're like, oh my gosh, is this person going to pass? But it's interesting because it's not just like, oh, let's open a bottle of wine and get hammered. It's nothing like that at all. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very difficult to achieve what they've achieved.
And Alana, you know, Jeff and I are, we're very close to wine country. Now you're going to say, wait a minute, aren't you in New York? Yes, we are. But, you know, we have some very nice vineyards out on Long Island.
Okay. I'll have to come visit.
Yeah. They have become, I don't think we're Napa Valley quality, but I think from what I've heard, There are some good. I mean, I've been out there but I'm not an expert. So, you know,
I'm not an expert either. I don't, you know, I couldn't, yeah. All I know is I like it, but I don't know why I like it. And that's okay. Like, you don't have to be an expert. If you enjoy it and you like the way it tastes, you like the way it makes you feel, knock yourself out. There's no right or wrong answer.
Well, Alana, we really appreciate the time you've taken with us. It's an absolute honor and pleasure to talk to you. I know the Mets are playing the Dodgers in a little while, so I know you want to go and watch that game. And,
yeah, I'm not going to say good luck to you guys. I'm going to say good luck to you guys after Thursday. Okay,
you know what? And we feel the same way.
Whoa! And here I was going to say, Alana, I think you're great. We could use a mentor. You know, could you?
Well,
could you help us?
I would be happy to mentor you through the broadcast world, but you're going to have to wait to get my baseball accolades until after the Dodgers leave City Field. Okay.
Everybody, watch Alana Rizzo on MLB Network. She's fantastic. Thank you very much, Alana.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Alana. You're the best.
My pleasure. Take care.
And thank you, Alana, for joining us. Len, she was a fantastic interview.
Fantastic. Yes, absolutely. She's doing so much. And she really is. And it's just, I think it's just the beginning. I really do. But she's terrific. And you know what, Jeff? The Rescue Dog Foundation that she has.
Guidry's Guardians.
Yeah. Guidry's. You can go to Guidry's Guardian and donate. They have a donation on there. Guidry's, that's Guidry's Guardian.org is her association. And right on there, you have the option to make a donation. And it's a very worthwhile cause. It's just great what she's doing. Thank you very much, Alana. And we appreciate it. And Jeff, can I read you a listener email?
Sure.
Letter, whatever you want to call it.
Please do.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. This is from friend of the show, Christina. And Christina says this. I just wanted to compliment you on your outstanding podcast, episode 151. The interview with Bron was very interesting. The end discussion and Jeff's rant were epic. They love your rants, Jeff.
Yeah.
Len, you need to get Jeff to rant more. He's normally so mild-mannered, but today he was not. LOL. Are you mild-mannered, Jeff? I did not know that. And she continues. Today's was great. I have to agree with him on two things you discussed. Aaron Judge should be MVP over Otani. He's a game changer for the Yankees. Otani is an amazing player on an otherwise crappy team. Okay. Also, Angel Hernandez is the worst umpire out there and needs to go. It is tough to umpire, but he is consistently wrong. Equal opportunity wrong. Okay. Jeff, let's thank Christina first.
Thank you, Christina.
Christina, I agree with you. Jeff's rants are epic. And as I demonstrated, ranting is definitely it's an art form. And Jeff's a true artiste when it comes to ranting. However, his rants come from the heart, and they're sometimes spontaneous, but they are never created. When Jeff rants, they are true rants. So as much as we would like to have him rant more, it's got to be things that bother him. And you know what, Jeff, since you're getting to be a really grumpy old man, maybe you will rant more. I don't know.
Ah, get off my lawn.
There you go.
If you want to reach a show, give us a call at 516-855-8214. Email us, baseballandbbq@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page. Please comment on our Facebook page, Baseball and BBQ. We have a Twitter.
Tweet.
At Baseball and BBQ. Instagram is Baseball and Barbecue, where barbecue is all spelled out. Our website is www.baseballandbbq.weebly.com. And please rate and review us. And we're all on all the podcasting channels, stations, subscribes, whatever. Oh, yeah.
Platforms. God, we're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. You could ask Alexa to play Baseball and Barbecue,
the latest radio episode. Tune in radio.
Exactly. I mean, we're everywhere.
Yes.
And speaking of being everywhere, that's not a segue. I don't even know why I'm saying that, but it's not that he's everywhere, but he has so many great products on his website. How's that? Dan Arnold of Suckle Busters, and he joined us with Doug Scheiding. Jeff, this is one people are really going to enjoy. So please, everyone, listen to Dan Arnold.
Hi, this is Gary Mack of the Mets Musings podcast. And if you want a lip-smacking, finger-licking good podcast, then you got to listen to Baseball and BBQ with Len and Jeff. They have the best guests and the best recipes on all the internet. So check it out, Baseball and BBQ.
So you think you have a recipe for a sauce or a rub, you know, might be a big seller, and you're kind of wondering, how do I go about that? How do I market that? What does it take to make it in the competitive world of sauces and rubs? Well, you have come to the right place, because we have, from everything that I've been reading and see, we have somebody who took one rub and has turned it into a barbecue empire. We are joined, and I'm going to tell you by who, but right away, I got to tell you, it's Doug Scheiding, Jeff Cohen, Len Aberman, and the special guest from none other than Sucklebusters is Dan Arnold. Dan, we are so happy that you're joining us on Baseball BBQ.
Oh, thank you. Sucklebusters in the house. Thank you, gentlemen. Awesome introduction.
Dan, I was practicing with them before, and I'll see how they do now, but this is for you, okay? So when I say suckle, you say Buster. Suckle.
Buster.
Suckle.
My number one fan.
Oh, they got to work on that, Dan. We'll work on it.
Okay.
When we have our guest co-host, who I've said many times now, he's no longer a guest. He's part of the family, part of the Baseball and Barbecue family, and that is Doug Scheiding. We let him start it off. So, Doug, you're up first. You lead off.
All right, perfect. I've got the first pitch. My favorite three rubs that of Sucklebusters, I'm going to start off with, is SPG, Hogwaller, and the Two Pig Mafia. But I want to start with the best, the Texas Trinity, the SPG. Can you give us a little background on how you started that? And was that the first rub? I'm not even actually sure.
No, actually, it wasn't the first rub. SPG came along much into our career. And the funny story about SPG is it was a concept on my books for 4 or 5 years. You know how you keep the to-do list?
Oh, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then just roll to next year. Well, SPG as a concept was on that to-do list. And so I just kept rolling it year after year after year. And I declined to make it because I just thought, well, it's just way too easy. Yeah, everybody knows what SPG is. It'll never sell. And so on and so forth. But I just talked myself into other rubs for years. Finally, one year, I just put it down. And I said, look, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see what happens. And so I tried it. I got the recipe together. It came together very quickly. It was just like a God thing, right? It's just like, ooh, it just came down. The recipe happened. I put it out. And then, boom, the thing just completely exploded on us. And I couldn't have been more surprised and more, you know, pleased with the whole thing. But SPG is our number one selling product. SPG Clucker Dust, our number one, number two selling product.
Okay. Well, SPG is fantastic. My wife always knows when I'm putting it on the brisket because she starts sneezing or I start sneezing. Is that the garlic powder? What is that that's so fine that just gets in the air?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, the fun answer is it's just fresh, right?
Right.
And that all the ingredients are in there. They're just so fresh they make you sneeze. There is something about the way we package the ingredients and the just kind of the granules that we use. And we use a lot of really fine dust in that one.
Got it.
In addition to some of the bigger flakes. And it's that combination of fine dust that really hits you. I don't know of anybody that can take a big whiff of SPG and not sneeze. So it's a big deal.
Oh, no. During COVID, I was actually wearing a mask, putting on my SPG. So
it'll clear you out. I've cleared rooms with SPG. I mean, it's phenomenal for that. So it's pretty amazing.
And for anybody who in our audience doesn't know what SPG is, salt, pepper, garlic.
There you go. Thank you.
The Texas Trinity, as it's called.
Texas Trinity.
It's like the basic building block of everything good.
Right.
Yeah. We love SPG.
Dan, tell us the origin story of Sucklebusters, the name, how the name Sucklebusters came to be.
Yeah. Thank you for that. It's a funny name, right? And it's an unexpected name. But the genesis of the name is actually came from kind of a joke that my father played on me when I was a little kid. Well, I went to the fairgrounds when I was about 12 or 13 years old. And when I got home from the fair, big event in my small town, right? My dad looked at me and he goes, hey, did you ride the Sucklebuster? And I was like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, oh, never mind. It's out back. They only let the big kids ride that. And so he just had made this name up, Sucklebuster. And I had this big, you know, whirling fantasy ride in my mind of lights and people getting flung around. And I just thought I'd missed the best ride of the entire fairgrounds, but in the end, it was a joke. I went back and checked the next year, but somehow the name just kind of stuck around, Suckle Buster, because it's just kind of a funny name. And then when we started our company, we were talking about, you know, like busting this and busting that. And so a friend asked me to come cook one day at his event, and he said, "What's your name?" And I just said, "We're Suckle Busters," and the rest is history. You know, it just stuck. People love the name.
Speaking of history, and I happen to hear an old episode of you on the Barbecue Central show. We love the Barbecue Central show. We love Greg Rempe. He's Rempe. Done so much for us, and we appreciate him. But you were on there, and at the time, you said, I think it was back from 2015, you said you were doing 50% Suckle Busters as your job and 50% your regular job. At the time, you said your sales were 300,000. When you got to a million, you were hoping that that would be your full-time job. So now it's 7 years later. Dan, is Suckle Busters your full-time job?
Yes, we definitely are full-time and then some.
Okay. So I guess you reached a million.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I'd just like to go back and just say Greg Rempe helped us dearly in the beginnings of everything we were doing, because what had happened was in 2006, when I started the company, I wanted to just kind of get the name out there, and we had been booted off a couple of barbecue forums, but Greg, he had a real good vision for barbecue, and he was an inclusive kind of guy, right? He was like, "Hey, if it's a barbecue, then it belongs here." And he was very gracious to Suckle Busters in the beginning when we started the company, and then we started our own barbecue forum, which is still running today, Texas Barbecue Forum. But Rempe gave us our shot. He allowed me to come on to Barbecue Central and you know, talk about the products, talk about the forum, and Greg Rempe, shout out to you. So thank you very much. But back to the question, yes. So I always had this idea in my mind that, hey, if I can get to $1 million, I can make it work. And then we weren't quite there. And about 5 years ago, IBM gave me the opportunity to retire. And it was just, I had a long career in high-tech sales, and it was an opportunity for us to just kind of try it and just see what happened. We've been very, very blessed. We are a multi-million dollar company now. It worked out really well. So we're full-time. My wife and I own and operate the business. And this, you know, this is how we feed our family. This is how we send our kids to college. This is how we pay the bills. It's been a huge blessing. And for the people out there that are thinking about, well, you know, what if, or, oh my gosh, you know, maybe this will work, or I'm not sure. Just go for it. You know, sometimes you got to really kind of step through the door. We weren't at $1 million when we took off. We weren't, you know, we just weren't there, and we just had a little bit of faith, and we took off, and the business took off.
Well, congratulations to you for the success. That's a great story. You know, when I went onto your website, it popped. I mean, I was very impressed with all the products and all the look of it. And I got to tell you, when I'm looking at your products, there's on your label, there's something very impressive. It says all natural, no MSG preservatives, but it's no bad stuff with the line through it. That, you know, caught my eye, which I'm sure catches everybody's eye.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you noticing that. It's just one of the things we've done since the very beginning of the company. And we've always been all natural. We've never used fillers, never used preservative, never used MSG or any of those other kind of names you can't pronounce. You just won't find them in our products. And so it's something really important to us.
Also, looking on your website, on the rubs, I mean, there's a lot of products you have here. I just got to ask you a couple of them, because some of the names are just so unusual, like the one with the Hoochie Mama barbecue rub. What makes that one stand out among the other ones?
Yeah, so, well, you know, what would you think about, Jeff, if you thought about a Hoochie Mama? What would she be like?
I want to hear this. Go ahead, Jeff. Describe Hoochie Mama.
I'm glad he asked you, Jeff.
Yeah. He is the right person.
Some nice looking woman, very endowed.
Yeah, maybe. She's probably hot, smoking hot, you know. Yep. She's probably a little spicy. She's probably a little sassy. And so that's Hoochie Mama. That's what you get in the barbecue rub. Get a little smoky, you get a little hot, you get a little spicy. And, you know, just put it on your meat and it makes everything taste better. So, yeah, so that's part of the product. You know, that's part of what we do is we just try to have fun, right? We try to make really, really good rubs, but we also try to have fun.
All right. And what about 407 BBQ Farm Road?
Yeah. So 407 is a great story. I don't know if you guys are familiar with, but they were named the best barbecue restaurant in DFW a couple of years ago. And they consistently win the very best barbecue restaurant in Denton County. And so it's a good friend of mine, Brian McClarty. He owns a barbecue restaurant, super successful. If you go to Dallas, Texas, and you just look up, hey, where should I go to eat barbecue? You end up going to 407. And so one of the things we've done is Brian is really, really busy making like the best barbecue he can make. And so we partnered with Brian and we manufacture his rub, his recipe for him. And then we distribute it for him. So 407 is a famous barbecue joint here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that we manufacture and market and we sell all over the world.
So in that, like cases like that, you've got a couple others. I know that, you know, Denny and, you know, Chicks of Smoke you know, even the Two Pig Mafia, et cetera, that I mentioned earlier. So do you approach them or they approach you? Or I suspect you approach them from a co-packing standpoint.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, the thing that's happened here is that to be a little bit transparent here is we have enough rubs. Okay. Suckle Busters, we have 20 something rubs.
And 26 on the website. 26.
Thank you.
Yeah, 26. Not that anyone's counting.
Where did those other two slip in on me? I mean, they're just like rabbits or something. They just show up. Anyway, but I have lots of ideas for rubs, and I could go on and on forever. But the reality of the situation is that you typically get a certain amount of shelf space in a store, and we feel very confident in the space we have and the products we have. We have enough product to fill a space. Okay. The second thing is that our company is founded on the thought that we're blessed to be a blessing. And so one of the things we want to do is help others in our industry. And so we find guys like Brian or like Robbie Staggs, a world champion in his own right, or Denny down at Chicks at Smoke. And they're awesome barbecue folks, but maybe they just need a little help getting into the business. And so we provide that piece for them where they provide the recipes, they provide the marketing and personality, if you will, to help build the brand. And then we do the back end for them based on, you know, all the things we have in place. And so it's a win-win. And it's a really, really fun thing to do, to go out and help your buddy get into the business. That's really, really exciting for some of these new guys, right? And then just see them be successful. And so,
Do you help with the label design and stuff too, or do they outsource that?
Yeah, I mean, we try to help them. You know, we want it to be theirs, right?
Sure.
And so, just like Two Pig Mafia, I mean, that's Robbie Staggs all the way. That was his barbecue team, right? And so he had all those concepts in place when he came to us and we started making his rub. And then some of the other labels, you know, maybe they didn't have it quite as developed, and we just kind of mentor them a little bit through the process. And there's certain things that we try to do, you know, when we develop a marketing plan, and we just help them with those pieces where they need help. Yeah.
All right. So Dan, I look at your website, by the way, everyone, sucklebusters.com. You want to get lost in a website. I mean, there's recipes. We'll get to that in a minute, but yeah. I look at your website and I want one of everything. Okay. So you could just my address, just Leo. Everything. But here's the thing. When I go to a restaurant, sometimes if I'm overwhelmed, I'll say to them, listen, what's the one dish that I'm coming from out of town? You want to make sure I come back. What is a one dish that I should get? So I'm going to say to you, what is the one rub, was one product on your website, let's say rub, sauce, whatever, that would be the first thing you recommend that I get?
Well, I think Doug's on point here with the SPG. That it's just the best in the industry, and it's the best rub to put on anything that you want to cook in any style of cooking, barbecue or otherwise. And so I would just have to say SBG's top of the list.
The next, then give me the second one.
So, okay. So now we start to get a little more granular. So I start to think about things in kind of categories. So SBG's on all purpose, put it on.
Gotcha.
So the next one I would kind of try to start filling in the blanks is probably like clucker dust for chicken. That's our next most popular rub. Yeah.
I love that, clucker dust. There's no mistaking what that's for. I don't think that's for ribs.
No. Yeah, it's for chicken, for sure. Got a little Chipotle in there. It's good stuff. It's a good seller.
Yeah, and you've been the recipient of many awards for your rubs and marinades and sauces. The American Royale Barbecue Sauce Contest, the SCOVI Awards. I mean, that must have been great honors just to be able to, you know, earn them.
Yeah, well, and Jeff, honestly, it's been like shocking sometimes, right? So, you know, when you cook something, right, you cook kind of what you like, right? And then you give it to people and you watch their reactions. And it's just, you know, like our barbecue sauce, our original barbecue sauce, I couldn't have been more shocked when we started winning awards with it. It was just the sauce I love to cook with, you know? And so that's been a huge blessing. And really, we owe it to this group of people we call Team Sucklebusters. These guys are personalities, right, Doug? And they're competition barbecue cooks. They're chefs. They're world champion, you know, winners. And so what we do is when we come up with an idea, we always vet it through our Team Sucklebusters. And they help us develop these recipes and refine them and test them. And, you know, a lot of times they'll go out and cook with them. And a lot of times they'll win before we ever put the product on the market. So we've had a lot of help. It's been fulfilling.
When you say we, you mean not just yourself, but you have a partner in the business, happens to be your wife, Cheryl. She has a lot to do with it, doesn't she?
Yeah. You do this thing on your own, right? And so Cheryl and I operate the business, and she's integral to everything we do. And so in a lot of ways, and more than just in a business way, you know, we're best friends and we operate the business together, and it's been a huge blessing for our family. But the other parts of the we are, you know, people, our employees, and the other parts of the we are all the people that support us, our ambassadors and Team Sucklebusters. And just, you know, that's why when I say we, that's what I really mean is like all of us, right? Mm-hmm. We all work on these things. So
yep.
It's been a big, big debt.
The royal we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From a marketing standpoint, do you actually are from a branding, you know, because it's usually you and Cheryl, like even on the front page of your website, right? It's you, the picture of y'all. And it, is it, are you marketing as a small business, you know, the two of you sort of thing? So I didn't know if that was kind of planned in your marketing strategy.
It is, you know, so one of the things that's different about Sucklebusters is that we're Texans. Okay. And so when I mean Texan, I mean, my family got here in the mid 1800s.
Okay? Wow.
I'm a fifth generation Texan. It's really, really hard to get me out of Texas. I mean, there's a couple of spots I like to go, but you know, I'm a Texan. So this is our home and we feel really sincere about that. I mean, there's a lot of things about Texas barbecue that are awesome. And so that's one of the things we try to convey to people is that, you know, this are genuine recipes from people that you know and you can meet and talk to. And these are my personal recipes, right? I didn't buy them from somebody else. I didn't end up with them by whatever means, but these are from Texas. They're from me. They're my personal recipes. And this is our family. You know, this is what we do. And this is who we are. And, you know, we just try to take that to the marketplace. Honestly, we're not really into, I don't know, we're not into self-promotion or the limelight. We just are who we are. And, you know, we've just been very blessed. And we just like to share that message with everybody.
On your website, you have Area 51. And I'm just going to tell everyone.
You're not supposed to go there, Leo.
I know. I've gotten a virus on my computer from it. No, I'm just, that's a joke. I have not, but it says warning, restricted area. It's unlawful to enter this area without permission of the website commander, on and on. Use of deadly force unauthorized. Access to this area by invitation only. What is up with Area 51 on the website, Dan?
Look, Leo, you're not supposed to be there, so please just back out and leave. And we won't send the boogeyman after you. But Area 51 is a fun place, and it is intended for people to find, you know, either by accident or just maybe they share it with someone, but it's not necessarily published, if you will. But one of the things we were talking about earlier is how the Team Sucklebusters helps us develop recipes. Then a lot of times what we'll do is we'll create a recipe, package it maybe in like test packaging, and we'll put it out on Area 51 and just let people try it out and see what they think. And wow, some of the products make it and some of them don't, you know, but yeah, it's definitely unauthorized, Leo. So beware.
You know, again, looking on your website, you have the retail locations, and I click on it, and I see all these pin drops across the United States and Australia, which is fantastic. Although when I zoom into my area, which is Long Island, New York.
Oh, Long Island, eh?
I see nothing. The closest one is.
What's going on, Jeff?
I don't know. In New Jersey. I mean, obviously you have New York locations, but they're nowhere near us. So.
Okay. So, well, we just to clarify, first of all, thank you for being from Long Island. What part of Long Island?
We're in Nassau County near Jones Beach.
Okay. So I work for a famous company up in the area of Islandia. I'm sure you might know who that.
Islandia, yeah.
So I spent a lot of time out there. Long Island's a beautiful place, and the further you go out, the more beautiful it gets. So, love that. I just wanted to say that we just signed up with Ace Hardware. So, perhaps there's an Ace Hardware close to you.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of them close to us, yes.
Yeah. So, we haven't pinned all those on the maps because it's not always easy for us to tell which stores we're in. But we have a solution for that coming. But, yeah, we're in Ace Hardware.
Okay, terrific. And, looking at the map, it's littered with the pins. So it's you're all over the United States. You're in Australia and also it says Canada, New Zealand, Sweden. I mean, that's worldwide. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I just shipped out Central America to Panama today. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I've shipped to, can we say this on the air? Russia? Can we say Russia?
Go ahead. Yeah.
You can say it.
Yeah. So we shipped to Russia. This was before the war, but apparently the Russians are really heavily into Weber grills and barbecue.
Huh? They need to eat, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, why not make it good, Doc?
Right.
Lynn and Jeff, you could go to the Ace if you're up. If he's up on the Ace system, they can actually order it for you and carry it in the store. Right. So they'll order it for you if he's in the system. So yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. So
a little plug for Ace. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, man.
Something. It's for barbecue these days.
They're
focused on barbecue.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they really are. They expanded a lot. Jeff loves when I sing.
No one loves it when I sing, but that's a different story. Hey, when we were talking, I think it was one time we found out that we know a common person, you know, Jason Childress from IBM.
I was thinking about this. Thank you.
Who married one of my wife's best friends and Dan and Jason used to work together. You know, it's just one of those small world type things. But, I know you were in, I think, sales at IBM, and kind of how has that helped you in the Sucklebuster transition?
Yeah, tremendously. By the way, isn't it funny how barbecue can like connect people? If you really think about that story with Jason, you know, Jason and I worked for an awesome dude named Jason Childress at IBM for years. And Jason and I were also good friends. And then, you know, I'm into this barbecue thing. And then I meet Doug out on the barbecue internet, you know, and it's just kind of this collision of happiness about barbecue. And then somehow Jason and I figure out, Jason's like, well, I think you know one of my friends. And so Doug and Jason are like best friends. And it's amazing how it all connects us together, this thing called barbecue. I think that's amazing.
It's really weird. I built him a Michigan State customized barrel.
Oh, I bet he loved that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, but awesome. But how did your sales skills help with your growing Stucklebusters? I guess, you know, especially since you came over full time.
Yeah. So one of the things I was thinking about, I was in high tech sales for 30 years. I was a sales executive for IBM. I worked for SAP, traveled all over the world. I mean, the very best, biggest companies you can think of, that's who were my customers, like American Airlines, Fidelity, Northrop Grumman, just huge companies, right? So I spent a lot of time there and I learned a lot. You get to know people. You also get to know how to, you know, market products and those kinds of things. And just the whole technology side, all those things really did kind of help me and support me in launching the business. And so it was a great background, but at the outset, if you could just kind of look at it, I was like in the high tech sales, you know, computer software. Like barbecue sauce is like the lowest of low tech. You can, you know, it's completely opposite, you know? So it's kind of funny that way, but all the things that you need to be successful at on the back end of a business, like, you know, putting systems together and social media and marketing and systems and all that kind of stuff. The IBM world really prepared me for that.
Yeah, I agree. I used to say, you know, I used to do engineering, so I used to be smart, but now that I cook barbecue, I'm not nearly as smart.
You're just happy.
Yeah, right.
And speaking of Doug, you know, Dan, as you were talking about your rubs and sauces and everything and all your products on the website, and I was like, you know, if you had a rub called, in Doug's honor, called the Shiding, would it be sweet, a little heat? What would a rub or a sauce be? You choose.
Okay.
You call it the Shiding.
The Shiding. Let me tell you something about Doug, okay? Uh-oh. I don't know if you guys know this.
Hey.
This is a compliment. Hang in there. All right. So in the world of like flavor and barbecue and taste, there are people who just like stay on the main road, okay? And they don't diverge, right? They're like, just give me black and white. I just want to stay in the middle of the road. I just want my burger done this way and this way only. And then there's the people who think out of the box, okay? And there's not that many of those people in the barbecue world, but one of those people is Mr. Doug Shiding. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very valuable because he just thinks about things differently. And so whatever flavor you're going to come up with for the Shiding, it's going to be different. Okay. It's not going to be what you expect, but in that whole different, it's going to take you to a place that makes you appreciate the different, right? It's going to be kind of crazy. It's going to be a little unexpected and it's going to be something that's really awesome, pleasing. That's the Shiding.
Thank you.
That's pretty nice.
That's exactly right. And I used to do that. I listened to Rempy's show to bring in outside taste from outside of the area. So yeah, you're exactly on point. However, if I can, I'll say what my Central Texas recipe is for competition. And I've won several awards because normally I go up there and get my ass kicked up there. But in brisket, I use my SPG and your Texas rub. And that is a classic, classic backyard barbecue brisket and flavor combo. And that's what I use.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Thank you.
You know, Dan, I'm going to piggyback on what you said. Jeff and I have been doing this show now. It'll be 5 years in December.
Yeah.
And it's not like we brought anybody in to be a host with us. Doug is like, you know, when I say he's part of the family now, he's part of the family. There's a reason for it. So I echo, Jeff and I both echo exactly what you said. You know, he started as a guest co-host and now it's like a piece of furniture, you know.
That's right. Right, man. He ups your game.
You just like...
I keep them comfy on their toes. That's what I'm supposed to do. So... Well, let's talk about your sauces a little more if we could.
Yeah.
What are some of your most popular sauces? We've got your rubs, but what are some of your most popular sauces that you sell?
Yeah, so the original barbecue sauce is number one. It always has been.
Okay.
And it's a kind of I call it a vinegar-based sauce. It's more kind of a middle of the road. It's not super vinegary like East Coast. And it's not super sweet like Kansas City. It's kind of somewhere in between, but it is vinegar based. And so that sauce is awesome. If you think about it this way, when you're going to cook, say, ribs or chicken, and 90% of the time you're going to cook a sweet flavor on the, that product, right? Our sauce is going to give you the tang to offset the sweet of the meat. So if you have a really nice, smoky, sweet piece of meat, you put our tangy sauce on there, it really tends to bring out a lot of different flavors. So it's a number one.
And perfect.
Looking,
yeah.
And looking at the website for that barbecue sauce, first of all, it says best in Texas, so it has to be. But
it is.
But looking at the reviews, it's 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars. People want to give it 10 stars. So I'm thinking it's pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Yeah. That recipe is interesting. I'll try to make it quick. But the recipe, there's actually I grew up in barbecue, okay? Not because barbecue was like cool or hip or anything. It's just because that's what we ate. But we just grew up around barbecue as part of our DNA out. And I grew up in East Texas. There's a restaurant in Kilgore, Texas called the Country Tavern. It's known for the best ribs. And truly, they do have the best ribs. They've always had a really tangy, vinegary sauce. And so our sauce is something that is kind of built into my brain as that tangy experience you get on ribs. Okay. And so that's how I built the sauce. It just really kind of takes me back to that time when I was growing up and enjoying ribs at the Country Tavern in Kilgore, Texas. Mm. And it's just an awesome sauce. And I find that, like, if you just kind of think about that, barbecue does that to you, right? A lot of people have memories of barbecue, like certain events or certain times. Like, I remember one time when I had the best steak ever. It was on a hunting trip, you know? And it was one of those times where we just cooked steaks over the open fire on a grate and just a wood fire, right? But for whatever reason, that was the best steak ever. Barbecue for me is like that. Right. It kind of takes you back in your memories to those times that were events, special times. And so that's one of the things we kind of shoot for is, you know, those kind of recipes that take us back and help us remember things about barbecue that, you know, were special to us.
Sorry, Jeff. Yeah, I see you have a question, so I'm going to go. I just got to ask Dan one thing. Dan. You know, I'm a very healthy eater. So The one thing you have recipes on your site that are so appealing. And the one extremely healthy recipe that I'm guaranteed to make because of my healthy eating lifestyle is the smoked mac and cheese bacon cups. I'm going to say that one more time. Smoked mac and cheese bacon cups. Wow.
Healthy version.
Anything in there you wouldn't want?
Oh my, if I could eat the picture, I would do it. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah, and that was a Team Suckle Busters recipe, so check it out on our website. That was one of, actually, thank you for bringing that up, that's one of our most popular recipes. People love that.
Oh, it's wow.
I'm gonna let you in a little secret. I did go onto your recipe website, and I actually did print out a recipe, which I am going to. Caribbean jerk chicken. I'm going to definitely try. Of course, I have to get a package of the jerk marinade that you have on your website. But this looks, because I'm a big chicken eater. My wife's a big chicken eater, so this looks, you know, really easy, simple, and you know, I'm sure it's going to be very tasty once I make it.
Yeah. So insider secret, right? Do you like it hot?
Yes.
It's going to be hot.
Okay.
So that's number one. It is true Scotch bonnet peppers in there. So they'll flame you. Okay. So word. second is make sure you don't ignore the fresh ingredients on the recipe. The fresh ingredients that you add to that recipe are just the seal of the deal.
Okay.
That's an awesome one. I love that one. It's good stuff.
Yep. So I mentioned that you had marinades let's talk about them. Cause you do sell marinades as well. I mean, you have four different marinades and one brine kit for turkey. You have one for beef, pork, poultry, and this marinade Caribbean jerk. Tell us, which one's your best seller and how are they?
Well, you know, the holiday season's coming up, so the bird brine kit's number one. And it's a really nice kit. So there's also a YouTube video out that shows you how to use it. It's very simple, but it's very traditional, and it has all the holiday flavors in there. So I just say the bird brine's got to be number one. Okay. It's a really great recipe. You get the bag, you get the marinade, you get the seasoning, get everything.
Right. And I suggest people get it early before it gets too late into the season.
Yeah. I mean, we're just rolled out pallets of it today. So it'll be in your local stores hopefully soon, or you can order on the website.
I saw something on your website. I'm telling you, this website, it's just, you're going to spend a lot of time on this website. There was something, it said bulk spice supplier in business over 130 years. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, so that's our manufacturing plant in Dallas. There's a company called Pendry's, mm-hmm. and they are literally the oldest company in Texas, which is old. They've been in business since 1870, and wow. they blend all of our seasonings for us. They're really, really awesome people, and they have just, connections in the industry you can't describe. And so they've been a big part of our success. Very proud to do business with companies like Pendry's.
130 years. They got to do something amazing, right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Their claim to fame is chili seasonings and single ingredient spices. And so they import them for all over the world. And then that really helps us build great recipes right here in Dallas, Texas.
And a little hint here, if you go to sucklebusters.com website, you can sign up for the newsletter, which, by the way, I already did. Enter your email address. And how often do you send those out?
Yeah, we don't really spam people. I mean, like once a month or so, we'll send something out. Uh-huh. And then we'll kind of ramp it up a little bit for Christmas, because a lot of people are looking for specials, like a Black Friday deal or something like that. So we'll spend a couple more out, but we try to send out like one recipe a month.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say one thing on the website. It is so easy to place the order as compared to a lot of other websites. I just went through it again today. I ordered some, four rubs and have them shipped, but very easy. So kind of along that lines, I get to do the first pitch as well as kind of the closing, and we're kind of getting to that time. Do you have, I'm going to hopefully serve you a softball, Dan.
Oh,
do you have anything to announce tonight? We got to have the drum roll and all of that. Hollywood can do the drum and the drums, and wanted to see if you had a new product or anything to announce tonight.
Ooh. Oh, thank you. Hey, you know, American Royal is coming up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The World Series of barbecue, right?
You guys, there you go. Yes. Nice baseball. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of our Team Sucklebusters member, Darren Williams from Ash Kicking Barbecue, who just so happens to be the top team in Minnesota this year for KCBS, Darren Williams, Ash Kicking Barbecue, just released a new KCBS style rub, Honey Chipotle Barbecue. Dude, this thing is just on fire. It's just taking off. And the thing I love about it is that, we got all these Texas rubs, we got all this black pepper and everything going on down here in Texas. Darren put together a KCBS style rub that is just phenomenal on pork and chicken, especially for the competition guys looking for that deep red color and that sweet, kind of complicated, sophisticated, easy to eat flavor, that's not too hot, it's just right. And he's been winning with it. So Ash Kicking Honey Chipotle Barbecue Rub is our very newest product from our Ooh. Texas pit, our from our pitmaster, Darren Williams.
Cool.
Thank you. Breaking news.
Yeah, it is. Just in time for the Royal.
Thank you to both of you. That was a big deal.
That was perfect.
So before we go, I want everybody to know that go to sucklebusters.com. You can look for the store locator, but you ship all over the world. And if you go to the website, go to the rubs and seasonings. And if you can't decide what you want, you have gift boxes of different types of rubs and sauces. So there's a great choice to go as well. I'm sure it'll make a great gift.
Yeah, man. The best seller on that, Jeff, is the buy six. You get a t-shirt and free shipping, $69. So that's the best deal. We sell those things all day long. So what you can do, you go to the website, you can't decide. You just pick out the six rubs you like, put them in a box, And then we'll ship them out to you with a t-shirt and free shipping. So great deal.
That's a great deal.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. It's the most popular deal.
Well, Jeff, our 5-year anniversary is coming up and you haven't gotten me anything. And so,
you know. Hint, hint.
I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah. You're young, Jeff.
Yeah.
You just ask.
Well, Dan, it was a pleasure talking to you. Besides Suckle Busters, do you have anything else you want to promote? Are you on Facebook, Twitter? Please go ahead.
Yeah, all the social media. So, yeah, so just check us out on all the social media platforms. The other thing I'd like to put in a quick plug about is we are the official barbecue rub and sauce of the Texas High School Barbecue Association.
Oh, okay.
And it is one of the most coolest things that you've ever seen in your life to see a high school kid walk up in a competition and win an award. I've seen kids walk away with just tears running down their face like grown men at a competition. But it's just amazing. you know what I mean, Doug. It's just amazing to see these kids. Yeah. So what they do is Texas, they have about 15 to 20 events throughout the year. And then in the right before spring or right before summer break next year, they'll have the state championships down in Austin. And if you win a local event, then you get to bring your team to Austin. And it's just a fantastic way to get to kids who are probably not like, you know, the stars on anything else at their school. Maybe they're not in band. Maybe they're not into athletics. Maybe they're not into other things. But they have this venue through food and through barbecue to get involved and to really make a difference in a kid's life. And so the purpose of the program is to provide scholarships for kids going off to get culinary degrees.
That's wonderful.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
You go up to the one in Austin? You go to that event?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me know about that. I'd like to go. Come to it.
We'll have you up. It was at Round Rock at the Dell Diamond last year.
Okay. Thank you.
Fantastic event. We'll get you there.
Okay. Sounds great.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for joining us, Dan. The website is sucklebusters.com. Everybody check it out. Really great stuff there. Dan, thank you very much.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you, Doug, for joining us. And Dan had some very nice things to say about Doug. We agree wholeheartedly. Dan, his website, Suckle Busters, you know, it's really true. I heard him in that interview, you know, several years ago on the Barbecue Central show, as we mentioned in the interview, and talk about how his company has grown. It's great. And what's really nice is it just shows sometimes good things happen to good people. We're very happy for Dan. And let me just tell you that we are brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts. But Jeff, we're not starting. Nope. As we say, we're ending. I say this all the time, but how do we end?
With the poet.
Shel Krakowski.
And the musician.
Dave Dresser.
And the song.
Baseball always brings you home. We're so glad that everyone joined us. We thank our guests. We thank our listeners. We thank everyone. Thank you. And we'll see you soon. Best of all.